Blog Talk Radio.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's...
just barely smarter than an escalator. Good evening. Welcome to Erie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay, barely smarter than an escalator. And I'm from Spook Show, they say. I am accompanied by...
Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. And Dale, I think from the get-go, we need to allay good old Bob's fears because we're cram-packing the last three episodes of Superman and the command performance into our regular 90-minute show. So he will not miss any of it.
We will be done at 8 o'clock. But Dave, how rude. You should have said, and I'm accompanied by...
And I'm accompanied by...
There's no need to fear because... that's the wrong superhero. Sorry, this is CW.
She snuck in the back door when I wasn't looking.
Yes, I did. I was always there. I'm always sneaking around the corners. You'll never know where I'll be. You'll need your X-ray vision to find me. Greetings and felicitations, everyone, and netizens in cyberspace.
Yep. And everyone be prepared because between the three episodes and the command performance, we're going to test you on your Superman knowledge with a short quiz of Superman fact or made up.
Ooh, and good old Bob and Fox Bane are here with us in the chat. And, of course, it's myself and my evil cohorts, Dave and CW. Mm-hmm. To wrap up Ghost Car from Superman, we've got three segments there, and we're going to squeeze in that command performance before we're done. Did it all for you so you can get out there and check out Garth Ghoul's original rebroadcast at 8 o'clock, right as soon as we're done.
Wow. Yep. Outstanding.
What a nice
way. But that's going to make it a fast-paced show tonight. We're going to get cracking pretty soon here with part 6 of Ghost Car.
Alrighty.
And we might as well just jump right into it so we'll have time for all the fun we have in store for you. Here's part 6 of Superman.
Presenting the transcription feature, Superman.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Yes, it's Superman. Strange visitor from the planet Krypton, who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can leap tall buildings at a single bound, race a speeding bullet to its target, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth and justice. But before we join Superman, listen.
And now to our story. After unsuccessfully setting a trap for the unknown man who is trying so desperately to get control of the Bar O Dude Ranch, Clark Kent and Lois Lane were caught inside an abandoned mine by a sudden cave-in. Fortunately, Kent, as Superman, was able to roll aside a boulder and clear the way to safety. Outside, Kent discovered that whoever was responsible for the cave-in had used a horse to pull the beam down. When Clark and Lois returned to the ranch house, Blaine, manager of the Bar O, introduced them to Alfredo, a gaucho employed on the ranch, a hot-headed Latin who has had several arguments with Steve Graham, owner of the Bar O. While Kent conversed with Blaine and the gaucho, Lois carefully examined the fancy saddle on Alfredo's horse. And suddenly, her eyes lit up. Calling Kent over, she pointed to the pommel.
Pretend to admire it, Clark. Just look at the workmanship. Look at the pommel.
Say, you're right. Rope marks.
Like those on the beam at the mine.
They were made recently, too. The
Horace, this may be the break we've been waiting for.
Finished admiring Alfredo's saddle yet, Champ?
Well, yes. But would you and Alfredo mind stepping over this way for a moment?
Sure thing. Come on, Alfredo.
So, Senor Camp, you are interested very much in my beautiful saddle.
Yes, Alfredo, I am interested. Very interesting.
A saddle like that, senor, it takes a very long time to make.
It isn't the workmanship of the saddle that interests me, Alfredo, but this.
Oh, the way the silver is inlaid into the leather.
No, I mean these marks on the pommel.
See, it's bad fortune. Even the very best leather, sometimes it gets scratched.
Not without good cause, Alfredo. You tied one end of a rope firmly around the pommel of your saddle right here.
So?
The other end you fastened to a large timber beam.
Beam, senor?
Then you spurred your horse into a gallop and pulled the beam crashing to the ground.
And started the cave-in that sealed us in the abandoned mine.
Now, wait a minute, Miss Lane. What is this? Rope, beams, mine. I do not understand.
Alfredo, someone just attempted to kill us by imprisoning us in the old mine. That someone...
No, this cannot be. You are accusing me. Me, Alfredo.
No, I'm not accusing you, Alfredo. But I do think
you
that...
You think, senor, that I have tried this thing? That I tried to kill... Senor, that is very big insult.
Take it easy, Alfredo.
I am a gaucho, senor. We gauchos are men of honor. I do not like for anyone to speak to me like this. Oh. I do not like it, Senor Kent.
I was merely speculating, Alfredo. Maybe you didn't use your rope and horse to pull that beam out. But if you didn't, how do you explain these marks on your saddle?
I think you come to borrow to make trouble, senor.
You haven't answered my question.
I do not have to explain anything to you, senor.
Easy, Alfredo, easy.
I'm sure Mr. Kent doesn't mean to accuse you of any wrong. He just wants some information.
He does not have to make so many questions. Questions, like he's policeman or something. Like if I am thief. I do not know anything about mine and pulling over timber.
And what are you so afraid of? Why don't you tell us what you tied the other end of the rope to?
Yes, Alfredo. What's the answer? Come on, Alfredo. Mr. Kent is trying to help all of us.
Very well. I am gaucho, correct? Si. All right. So I find big steer. Steer is wedged in between two big trees. So, quick, I tie rope around his horns, other end to saddle, pull him out with horse.
Now, that seems logical, Kent. Things like that are always happening around the ranch. Possibly. Still, I'd like to see some proof. Tell me, what time did you rescue this
kid? I am not going to stay here, waste time answering very silly questions. Come, Blanco. We go for a ride.
Come back, Alfredo.
I'd stay and answer the questions if I were you, Alfredo. An innocent man doesn't run away.
Senor Kent, you have insulted me. I try very hard not to get angry. Okay, I do nothing now. But I warn you, Senor Kent... Next time, you will be sorry if you talk this way to me. Adios, senor. Adios,
senor. Hawk, I don't like that fellow. I don't believe his story.
Well, you can't tell, Lois. He may be telling the truth. That yarn about the steer does sound plausible.
Clark, you heard how he threatened you.
Oh, Alfredo's hot-tempered, Miss Lane. I'm sure he didn't mean any harm. Maybe not. But our gaucho friend who doesn't like to answer questions can certainly stand watching.
Well, I suppose in a case like this, you can't overlook anyone.
Or anything.
Mr. Plain, you come over here a minute?
Be right over, Shorty. Excuse me a moment, won't you? I've got to get back on the job. I'll see you folks later.
All right,
Mr. Plain. Lois, we're not getting anywhere on this case.
Yeah. If only we had some real clues.
No, we have clues, Lois. We're still going around in circles. So far, the clues don't lead anywhere.
Oh, now, don't tell me the great reporter is getting discouraged.
No. I'm more determined than ever to solve this mystery.
I'm with you. Suppose we try to get our bearings.
What's your idea?
Ideas are my idea.
I don't get it.
Well, I mean, let's sit down and talk it all over. Maybe we can get a bright idea or two.
Well, swell. Suppose we sit over there on the porch, huh?
Mm-hmm. Say, by the way, where's Jimmy?
I don't know. Around the corral, probably.
Maybe Blaine knows. Mr. Blaine?
Yes? What is it?
Have you seen Jimmy?
No, but I'll send one of my men to find out where he is.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Here. Sit down on one of these porch chairs.
Thanks. Well, Clark, where do we go from here?
Well, first let's see what we know so far about the mystery of the Bar O.
A peaceful dude ranch is suddenly plagued by a series of strange accidents.
Mm-hmm.
Strangest of all, those caused by a ghost car.
Or what appears to be a ghost car.
Well, it sure looked real to me when it forced us off the road.
I know.
Anyway, the owner of the ranch gets persistent offers from a real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
But the agent doesn't know who the would-be buyer of the Barrow is. So far, not so good.
Yeah. Call our mystery man, Mr. Z.
Okay. So we deduce that this person, Mr. Z, has some powerful reason for wanting to get hold of the Barrow.
Very good, Dr. Watson. Proceed.
Elementary, my dear Mr. Kent. So we figure that it's the mysterious Mr. Z who has caused all the accidents around here.
Go on.
Which brings us to the big question. Why? Why is Mr. Z so anxious to buy the ranch from Graham? And why did he try to bury us in that mine?
All right, hold on, Lord. See, that's something there, the old mine. I did not think of this before. Here, look.
Oh, I don't see what a few pieces of gray rock have to do with it.
I picked them up in the abandoned mine.
Well?
Suppose this rock contains some valuable substance. That would explain why this man behind the accidents goes to such lengths to try and get the ranch.
Oh, Clark, how can a few pieces of rock give you ideas like that? Really, you shouldn't be a reporter. You ought to write fiction.
Well, go ahead and joke. I'm going to send the sample off on the first train to Metropolis. I'll have a mineralogist in the city examine it and wire me exactly what it is.
Oh, don't be foolish, Clark. You're just wasting valuable time.
Now, look, Lois, we've got to find a motive for Mr. Z. If we can discover what he's after, well, we'll certainly be in a better position to know who he is.
Okay.
Oh, hello, Blaine. Did you find out about Jimmy?
Oh, no need to worry, Kent. One of my men just saw him out on the range riding with Alfredo.
No need to worry. When he's riding with that man?
Oh, the boy will be all right. Alfredo is a nice chap.
Oh, I don't trust him, Mr. Blaine. Clark, you better ride after them and bring Jimmy back.
Oh, we can't keep Jimmy tied to an apron string, Lois. I'm not going chasing after him like he was an infant. Nothing to worry about.
But, Clark,
I think your nerves are still on edge from the mine accident. Suppose you go upstairs and get a little rest.
I'd rather wait here until Jimmy returns.
A nap will do you good, Lois.
Oh, very well, if you insist. But I can't help worrying about the boy.
Well, if you're that worried, Miss Lane, I'll have Shorty go out on the range and tell the boy to come on back.
Yes, will you please do that?
Thanks, Lane. Go ahead, Lois. Lie down for an hour.
All right. I'll see you all later.
I'll be back from town in an hour.
Going into town, Mr. Kent?
Yes, I have a little errand to do in the village. I'll drive in, I guess. Say, you won't forget to send your man after Jimmy, will you?
I'll take care of it right now. Oh, Shorty.
Yeah?
Get out on the range and see if you can find Jimmy and the gaucho. Tell him to come back right away.
Okay.
Thanks, Blaine.
See you around.
Gosh, Alfredo, let me see you do that with the whip again.
You like it, eh, Jimmy? Okay, this time I do even better. You see a little twig on tree over there?
Wow, that's over 15 feet away.
For me, it's very easy. I just take the whip and...
Why, you snapped the twig clear off. Boy, I sure wouldn't like to get you sore at me.
You're right. He's not very wise to get Alfredo angry.
Say, this has been a lot of fun, Alfredo, but I better start back for the ranch now. It'll be getting dark soon.
Oh, no, Jimmy. You'll have plenty of time to ride. Yet, plenty of time.
Oh, I'm awful hungry.
Oh, I fix that quick. I make you a good supper.
Oh, where will you get food?
Oh, I think of everything, Jimmy. See, there near hill.
Gosh, it's a cabin. I didn't know about that.
Oh, it's very old cabin. No one comes there anymore except me. I keep little food there for when I ride out here.
I'd like to see your cabin, Alfredo, but honest, I gotta get back.
You have much better time here, Jimmy. Your friends are busy. They will not miss you.
Well, I don't know.
Come, Jimmy. We go to the cabin. Have a fine meal.
No, I better get back. Mr. Kent and Miss Lane will be worried about me.
Ah, Jimmy. Nobody worry when they know you are with Alfredo. Besides, you are hungry, no?
Yes, but Alfredo, I...
Then it is set. We stop at cabin, and I think you find something.
Okay, Alfredo. You win, I guess.
That is good. Very good. Let's go.
Is Alfredo leading Jimmy into a trap? He seems mighty anxious to keep him from returning to the ranch. What is behind the gaucho's sudden desire to have Jimmy visit the cabin? Can it be that Alfredo is the man behind the accident at the Barro, the man responsible for the cave-in at the mine, and for the ghost car? Don't miss the next exciting episode. Tune in and follow the story with Superman.
Here we go. That's part six of the ghost car.
Don't forget.
Superman. And we got two more parts to go in the command performance as well.
So Alfredo is Alfredo only there because he didn't have any real pizza sauce? Is that why
chicken.
Alfredo's really there?
He's chicken.
Chicken. Okay.
Yeah. Alfredo's chicken.
Oh, I prefer sriracha sauce myself, but that's just me.
There you go.
And unbeknownst to our fans there, Alfredo was the original teacher of Indiana Jones with that whip.
I didn't know that.
And sometimes W. Yes.
Has us befuddled, amazed, and mesmerized.
You even had to go on that one, yeah.
Oh, wow. Are we going to have our Superman test yet?
No. In between the command performance and the Superman, the last Superman episode.
Yeah,
but it is already raring to go for Superman or Made Up.
Ooh.
There you go. We have to determine, I guess, if it's a true Superman fact or if it's a made-up thingy. That'll be after part eight. Part seven is next. We might as well jump right into it. Close to wrapping up the ghost car.
Presenting the transcription feature, Superman.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from the planet Krypton, who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can leap tall buildings at a single bound, trace a speeding bullet to its target, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth and justice. But before we join Superman, listen.
And now to our story. As you remember, a strange series of mysterious accidents have been plaguing the Barro Dude Ranch, not the least of which was an attempt made on the lives of Clark Kent and Lois Lane. Someone is evidently trying to gain possession of the Barro by frightening the owner, Steve Graham, into selling. Kent suspects there is something of great value in an abandoned gold mine on the Barro property. And as our story continues today, he has driven into town to analyze a sample of ore taken from the mine. Meanwhile, Jimmy Olsen and Alfredo, the South American gaucho employed at the Dude Ranch, are riding toward a deserted cabin some distance from the Barro. Alfredo is insisting that they stop at the cabin. Listen.
Come, Jimmy. We go to the cabin.
Oh, no, Alfredo. I better get back to the ranch. Mr. Kent and Miss Lane will be worried about me.
Nobody will worry when they know you are with Alfredo. Besides, you are hungry now.
Yes, but I...
Then it is settled. We stop at the cabin and I fix for us food fit for gaucho.
Okay, Alfredo. You win.
That is good. Here we are. We tie up the horses to this tree.
Okay.
So, now. Come, I unlock the door. Come in, Jimmy. How you like this cabin, eh?
Oh, gee, it's swell. But I don't see any stove. Where are you going to do the cooking?
You think I cannot cook without stove, eh? The fireplace, that is all I need.
Oh,
I show you. But first, I must light a lamp. It gets dark. That is better, no?
Wait, did you hear that, Alfredo?
What? I hear nothing.
I thought I heard footsteps.
Well, maybe my horse. Blanco does not like to be tied up.
Oh, I thought...
You won't like it much either, Alfredo.
Huh? Shorty, what is this? What are you doing here?
Alfredo, he's got a gun.
Yeah, and it's loaded, too. None of that, Alfredo. Get your hands up. You too, kid.
Shorty, you go loco. Why you hold us up?
Never mind why. Just keep your hands up. And turn around, both of you.
What are you going to do?
You'll find out soon enough. Walk over to the bed, Gaucho.
I do not take orders from you.
You'll take orders, all right. This six gun's a mighty good convincer.
You can't get away with this. Mr. Kendall...
Button your lip, kid. Come over here, Alfredo. Now, lie down on the bed. Face down. And keep them hands behind you.
One day I will get my fingers around your throat, Shorty.
Save your breath, tough guy. Come here, kid. Here, take this rope and tie his wrist tight.
I won't, George. You can't
be
make...
Be smart, kid, and do like I tell you. Go on.
Do like you say, Jimmy. I do not mind.
Oh, you go to jail for this.
Shut up, Squirt. Now, pull that knot tight.
What?
That's it. Take a couple of loops around his ankles. Go on. Okay. Now, tie both ends to the bed. Now, I guess that'll hold you, Gaucho.
I swear I'd get you for this someday, Shorty.
Shut up. Now, it's your turn, kid. Sit down in that chair.
What for?
Don't ask foolish questions. Sit down. That's better. Now, hold your hands behind you. Behind you, I said. That's it. Now, we'll fasten you down to the seat. Like that.
Oh.
Tie your legs together. And you're all set. I'll leave you now, and maybe in a couple of days, somebody will come around and let you loose.
A couple of days? Are you going to...
Charlie, I give you one more chance. Let us go now, and I will forget all about this. I will not hurt you.
You won't hurt me. That's a hot one. I got to hand it to you, Alfredo. You got a real sense of humor. Well, so long. I'll be seeing you. Ain't nobody going to find them for a while. Come on, Rex. Get up.
Clark, I'm so glad you're back. Jimmy and Alfredo haven't returned yet.
They haven't?
No.
Funny. Has that ranch hand returned, the one Blaine sent out to look for Jimmy?
You mean Shorty?
Yeah.
No, he hasn't come back either. Oh, if anything happens to Jimmy, I'll never forgive myself.
Take it easy, Lois.
I never should have left him alone.
Wait a minute. There's somebody riding in now. Maybe it... Yes, it is. That's Shorty.
He's alone, Clark. I'm worried.
Hey, Shorty, did you find them?
Fine.
Did you find Jimmy and Alfredo?
No. Picked up their trail all right, but then I lost it.
Which way were they headed?
Down towards the creek.
We've got to do something. Organize a searching party.
We better get started at once.
Pretty tough searching around here at night, mister. You'd best wait till morning.
Until morning? Good
That's
heavens.
That's ridiculous. We're going out tonight. Let's get hold of Graham and Blaine and have them round up some of the men.
Well, whenever you're ready, you'll find me in the bunkhouse. But I think you're making a mistake. Get him, please.
Clark, what do we do?
Come on. Let's find Blaine or Graham.
Mr. Kent. Mr. Kent.
There's Mr. Graham now.
Where well, he's been all day.
Oh, well, Mr. Kent, I've been looking for you.
We were just going to look for you.
Mr. Graham, you've got to help us.
Well, what's the matter, Miss Lane?
Jimmy's disappeared.
Disappeared? Well, what do you mean?
Early this afternoon, he went riding with Alfredo, and they haven't come back yet.
Alfredo won't let anything happen to him. They'll be along soon.
Well, I'm not so sure.
Why do you say that, Mr. Kent?
Mr. Graham, we suspect Alfredo of being responsible for all the accidents that have happened.
Yes, and we have reason to believe Alfredo tried to kill us this morning.
You mean that cave-in at the mine?
Yes.
How do you know about it?
Blaine just told me. I warned you about those beams. Sooner or later, they were bound to go.
This beam didn't just go. Someone caused that cave-in by pulling it down with a rope. And we found rope marks on the pommel of Alfredo's saddle. Just the sort of marks that would have been made if he'd used his horse to do the pulling.
Are you certain of that?
Why, of course we are.
Yes, and when Mr. Kent started to question the gaucho, he became angry and rode away. He even threatened us.
All right, then. We'll get some of the boys, ride down, and see if we can pick up the trail where Shorty lost it.
I'd feel better if we did.
No, very well. Let's go over to the ranch house for some flashlights. I'll send somebody out to round up the boys.
You think we'll be able to pick up the trail in the dark, Mr. Graham?
I doubt it, Miss Lane. But we'll fan out, cover as much ground as possible. We'll do everything we can. Watch this top step, Miss Lane. It's a little shaky. A loose board.
Thanks. Well, look, there's an envelope stuck in the door.
So there is. Hey, wait, I'll open the door. There it fell. I'll get it. Well, it's addressed to you, Kent.
To me? Oh, thanks. That's funny.
What is it, Clark?
I don't know.
Well, open it. Hurry up.
Well, now we know what happened.
What did it say?
Listen to this. Clark Kent, I got the kid. Get away from the bar O and he'll be all right. After 2 days, if you keep out of things that ain't your business, I'll let the kid go. It's not time.
Someone's keeping Jimmy prisoner. It must be the gaucho. Oh,
no, that note doesn't sound like Alfredo.
Wait a minute. It says stay away for 2 days.
Well, what does that mean?
2 days, don't you remember? Yesterday, the sheriff said we'd have to clean up the case in 3 days, or he'd close the road to this ranch to avoid further accidents caused by the ghost car.
You're right, Clark. That means whoever's holding Jimmy is responsible for the ghost car accident. What are we going to do?
There's just one thing to do, Miss Lane. You and Mr. Kent must leave the bar O.
Mr. Graham's right, Clark. We can't risk endangering Jimmy's life.
Sorry, but I can't agree with you. If I follow the instructions in this note, I'll be doing just what some criminal wants me to do. And I'm not going to play his game.
For goodness sake, let's not waste time talking. Let's do something.
Graham, you go over and round up a posse. Miss Lane and I will get the flashlights.
Whatever you say, Kent. You'll find them right back at the clerk's desk. I'll drive over to the bunkhouse in my car. It'll be faster.
Good.
I'll meet you back here in 10 minutes.
All right. Step on it, will you?
While Clark Kent is organizing a searching party, Jimmy and Alfredo are helplessly trussed up in the deserted cabin where Shorty left them. As we join them, Alfredo is struggling valiantly to free himself from the ropes that bind him to the bed.
Jimmy, you do a good job when you tie me to this bed.
Gosh, I'm sorry, Alfredo. I couldn't help it.
I know, Jimmy. I know. There. She sleep a little.
Oh, that's swell. But even if you get off the bed, what good will that do? Hands and feet will still be tied.
You will see what I do then. Now, a little twist and I am free at least from the bed. Now watch, Jimmy. I wiggle off to the floor. There.
Good work.
Now I get up on this table.
What are you going to do on the table, Alfredo?
With this lamp, I can burn the ropes off my hands.
Oh, that's a swell idea. Say, maybe we'll get out of here after all.
What is this maybe? Of course we get out of here. But I must take the chimney from the lamp.
Oh, be careful, Alfredo. You're pushing the lamp near the edge of the table.
Lambe, keep sleeping.
Look out. Look out, you'll dump it over.
Oh, it falls.
Look. Look, the floor's on fire. Get away, Alfredo. You'll be burned.
I must stop it out.
You can't do it, Alfredo. Get away from there. You'll be burned to death.
You're right. It's too hot.
Alfredo, we're trapped. Help! Help!
Fed by kerosene from the overturned lamp, the roaring blaze eats its way across the dry wooden floor of the cabin, coming closer and closer to Jimmy and Alfredo. Caught in the fire trap, there seems to be no escape. What will happen? Don't miss the concluding episode of this exciting mystery if you want to know who was responsible for the ghost car. Tune in and follow the exciting story with Superman.
I'm sorry, folks. We're out of time. No time to wrap this one up. We're calling it a night. Yeah, I'm kidding. Wait, we got to know about the damn ghost car for crying out loud. That was mean. I'm so sorry. That was mean.
Yes, it was. Shame on you, Jamie.
Cooler than Lex Luthor. Mean, I say.
And so I was soon to be just as bald. Sad. I'm used to having an old, wiry mop, you know?
Mm. Lex Luthor, you know, Lex Luthor meets Black Adam. Both follically challenged, I believe.
Yes, follically challenged. I love it. Yeah, we got a exciting story here. One more episode, and then, of course, onto a little comedy with Superman.
Yep.
Portrayed by none other than Bob Hope. It will also feature Bela Lugosi, Sterling Holloway. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Winnie the Pooh.
One of those distinctive voices you'll never forget.
Oh, bother. Yes.
Oh, bother.
He was so British. The Pooh was British.
Oh.
Yes. The Pooh was British, yes.
Oh, yes.
And, he was the snake in the Jungle Book, the musical Jungle Book.
Ah, Ka. Ka the snake.
Yes.
Okay,
oh, yes. Trust in me. Slither.
His hypnotic eyes, hypnotizing Mowgli. That was such a fun musical cartoon jungle comedy with such great voices like Louis Prima and Phil Harris.
Phil Harris.
Baloo the Bear.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Baloo Bear. Yeah. Oh, and Sebastian Cabot.
The bare necessities, the little bare necessities. Oh, that was cool.
Yes, it was. Back when Disney was good, but they had a few good things. I did like the reboot of Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
I did like the reboot of Mary Poppins.
I don't know if I saw
that. Wasn't bad. Yeah, of course.
Wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that was pretty tasty. Pretty tasty. Lin-Manuel Miranda took over the role that Dick Van Dyke had.
Who makes a surprise appearance, by the way.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
And apparently, the age of, 97 or 98, is going to start appearing in a soap opera.
OMG.
He really likes soap opera, and he works out with one of the guys, the stars in it. Next thing you know, he's going to have a role in it.
That is one cool dude.
I got to look this up. I got to look
Van Dyke
this up.
One cool dude.
Okay.
He's an amazing guy.
He has to make it. Yeah, he's going to make it past Betty White. Betty White made it technically, not categorically, but technically to the big 100.
Yeah.
And there's some people out there who are in the triple digits. A lot of people out there now in the triple digits, you know.
Me and Dave are two of them.
That's right. But only on Sunday.
Yeah.
Only on Sunday.
Feels more like it on Monday morning, but I digress. Let's wrap up the ghost cars so we have plenty of time for the quiz and command performance. Here, finally, at last, the exciting conclusion of the ghost cars.
Presenting the transcription feature, Superman.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from the planet Krypton, who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can leap tall buildings at a single bound, race a speeding bullet to its target, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth and justice. But before we join Superman, listen.
And now to our story. In an effort to clear up the mystery of the ghost car, a phantom automobile responsible for a number of accidents on the road to the Bar O' Dude Ranch, Clark Kent and Lois Lane have been tracking down every possible clue. It is Kent's belief that someone is trying to frighten Steve Graham, owner of the ranch, into selling, hoping to gain possession of the property. But why? Is there anything of value on the ranch? Is it something in the abandoned gold mines? Kent isn't quite sure, but has taken the precaution of sending a sample of the ore for analysis. In the meantime, young Jimmy Olsen and Alfredo, a gaucho employed on the Dude Ranch, are bound hand and foot in a deserted cabin in the hills. Attempting to burn through the rope tied around his wrists, Alfredo has backed up to a kerosene lamp on a table. And suddenly, the lamp crashes to the floor. Oil-fed flames leap high as Jimmy and Alfredo, helpless, look on in terror. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Kent and Lois are waiting for a searching party to be organized.
Clark, what's keeping Mr. Graham? We'll never pick up Jimmy's trail unless we get started. Why can't you and I go on alone?
We don't know this country, Lois. Say, what's that red glow in the sky?
Where?
Beyond that hill, see?
Oh, yes, I see. It's probably the moon coming up.
I don't think so. It's flickering.
Maybe it's a brush fire. Where on earth is Mr. Graham?
I'll be back in a minute, Lois. I've got to get something in the ranch house.
Clark, wait a minute.
I'll be right back. Yeah. I don't think anyone can see me behind this barn. Good thing it's dark. I have an idea that's a campfire up in the hills, and if it is, it deserves investigation.
As Superman. Up! Up! And away!
Leaping into the darkness, Superman streaks for the telltale orange glow on the horizon, wheels above it in strange flight.
It's a cabin on fire. Wait. I hear someone crying for help. Yes. Someone's trapped in that cabin. Down. Down. There. Not much time left. Burning like tinder. Door's locked. Have to crash through. What? Great Scott. Jimmy and Alfredo, unconscious on the floor. Another few seconds, it would have been too late. I've got them. Now to carry them through that wall of flame. Here goes. There we are. I don't think either of them have been burned. Smoke got them more than anything else.
Oh, Jimmy.
Alfredo's coming,
Jimmy.
Too. I better assume my role of Clark Kent.
I bought a rope for Jimmy. I get us out.
Take it easy, Alfredo.
Senor. Senor Kent, where do you come from? Where is Jimmy? The fire.
Well, Jimmy's all right, Alfredo. Smoke knocked him out, that's all, but he's coming around. Jimmy. Jimmy, it's Mr. Kent.
What happened? What?
I saw the fire, Jimmy. I broke in and pulled you both out.
Mr. Kent. Gosh, I thought we were gone.
Well, you had a narrow escape. Who tied you up, Jimmy?
Shorty. One of the ranch hands.
Shorty? Why, of all the... We've got to get back to the ranch before he gets away. Think you're ready to ride, you two?
Oh, sure, Mr. Kent. I feel fine now.
How about you, Alfredo?
I ride fast like the wind.
All right, come on then. Good thing you tied up your horses or they wouldn't be here now. Jimmy, you'll have to share the saddle with me.
Okay.
All right, up you go. Yeah. All set, Alfredo?
Si, senor.
All right. Hope Shorty's still at the ranch.
Wherever he goes, senor, I chase him until I catch him.
Yes, Mr. Graham, it was Shorty who locked Jimmy and the gaucho in the burning cabin.
Well, no wonder he cleared out so fast. Ah, but don't worry, the state police will get him.
Well, then, I guess our job here is finished, and we can get on back to Metropolis.
Mr. Kent, I'll never be able to thank you for what you've done.
Oh, not at all. Glad to be of service. And now, if we hurry, we can just make the last train out. May I borrow a car to drive to town, Mr. Graham? One of your men could pick it up in the morning.
Oh, let me drive you down, Kent.
Oh, thanks, Blaine, but I don't want to trouble you. I can manage.
Well, if you insist, my car's right here. You're welcome to use it.
Thanks. All right, come on, Lois and Jimmy.
Okay.
In you go. There we are. That's it. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Many thanks, Mr. Kent.
Goodbye, Mr. Graham.
Come back and pay us a visit soon, all of you.
Bye. All right, thanks. Bye.
Well, we certainly cleared that up fast, didn't we?
Did we, Lois?
Now, you can't say that I didn't help.
Oh, of course you did, Lois. But we haven't quite solved the mystery yet.
What do you mean?
I mean that Shorty was only a tool, an accomplice of the man behind the ghost car. Who that man is, the brains, we still don't know.
Well, if the mystery of the Borrow isn't solved, why did you tell everyone at the ranch that it was?
Yeah, and why are we going back to town then, Mr. Kent?
We're setting a trap.
A trap? What kind of a trap?
As soon as we get into town, I'm going to phone the ranch. Tell them I've just met a wealthy man from the city who's on his way up to the Bar O. Let's call him, well, Orville Winston. He wants to buy the ranch. I'll say I'm turning over Graham's car to Winston so he can drive up himself.
And what's behind all this flim-flam?
Very simple. Everyone at the ranch will hear about this new buyer, this Mr. Winston. And the man, the real man behind the accidents, will hear about it, too. Naturally, he still wants to get the bar over himself. And when he hears the prospective buyer is on the way up, he'll try to frighten him away.
But how?
He'll arrange for our mythical Mr. Winston to meet the ghost car on his way up to the bar O.
Mr. Winston, who doesn't exist, will meet a car that doesn't exist. Are you joking, Clark?
No, not at all. I will be Mr. Winston, the would-be buyer of the bar O, and I'll be driving Graham's car back to the ranch. Then, when I see the ghost car heading at me, instead of turning off, I'll keep right on riding, straight at it.
Don't be a fool, Clark.
It's awfully dangerous, Mr. Kent.
No, don't you worry. After all, we all know there can't be ghost cars. If this doesn't work, nothing will.
Number three.
The Bar O Dude Ranch. I think the number 625.
One moment, please.
Bar O Ranch.
Oh, hello. This is Clark Kent.
Oh, yes, Mr. Blaine speaking.
Oh, hello, Blaine.
Didn't run into any trouble, did you?
Oh, no. I'm calling from the station. There's a man down here who wants to get to the ranch. His name is Orville Winston.
Oh, are you a guest?
No, I don't think so. He said something about wanting to buy the ranch from Mr. Graham.
Oh, I see.
I thought it might be a good idea to let him bring Mr. Graham's car back. What do you think?
Sounds all right to me. Does he drive?
Yes, and it'll save you a trip in the morning.
Oh, sounds like a good idea. I'll tell Mr. Graham.
Thanks very much, Blaine. Goodbye.
Bye, Mr. Kent.
Well?
Lois, you and Jimmy wait here. I've no time to lose.
Clark, where are you going?
I know. He's going out to Mr. Graham.
Oh, hello, Clark. Clark! No,
to meet up with a ghost car as Superman. The tunnel's up ahead a short distance around that curve. The Phantom automobile is going to put in an appearance tonight. I'll meet it head on in just a moment. Yes, there it is. Headlights gleaming. All right, ghost car, get ready for a crash. Someone's running across the top of the tunnel. You're not getting away this time, mister. Up.
Hey, who are you? Get out of here.
Oh, yes? There. I guess that'll take care of... Blaine. Well, so you're the man behind the ghost car, eh? Well, now to pick up Lois and Jimmy and haul this crook back to the ranch.
But I don't understand, Mr.
It was all very simple, Mr. Graham. Blaine here lowered a mirror in front of the entrance to the tunnel. Naturally, when a car came along, its own headlights were reflected in the mirror, forcing the drivers off the road for fear of crashing. All Blaine had to do was raise the mirror and carry it into the woods.
Is that true, Blaine?
I'm not talking.
He doesn't have to. The sheriff will find the remains of the mirror on the road.
Why did you do it, Blaine? Why?
I told you I'm not talking. Obviously, he wanted the ranch, Mr. Graham.
Yeah, but why? It has no particular value.
I wonder. In fact, I sent a sample of ore from your abandoned gold mine to a mineralogist in the city. I have a feeling that mine isn't as worthless as you seem to think.
Oh, that reminds me, Kent. The telegraph office phoned a message for you a few minutes after you left. I wrote it down on this slip of paper.
Oh, thanks. Well, I thought so. This message supplies Mr. Blaine's motive. Listen. Sample submitted, rich in bauxite.
Bauxite? What's that?
I know. It's the stuff they use to make aluminum.
That's right, Jimmy. Mr. Graham, that abandoned mine is worth a fortune. You know how the government needs aluminum today. It's more precious than gold.
You mean that old mine is going to help build planes? Fighting planes?
That's exactly what I mean.
Kent, I don't know how to thank you. I'm too old to give active service to my country. But you presented me with an opportunity to really lend a hand.
Oh, don't thank me. Just get to work and put that mine in operation as fast as you can. While our ghost friend Blaine is thinking it over in prison, you can be joining in the fight for democracy.
And so another baffling mystery is solved through the cleverness of Clark Kent and the prowess of Superman. But unknown to either Kent, Lois, or Jimmy, all is not well back in Metropolis. At this very moment, editor Perry White is frantically putting through a long-distance call summoning Kent back.
What has happened? Tune in and follow the new and thrilling story with Superman.
Don't forget, tune in again for the next thrilling episode with Superman.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Give me that shoe.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Yep. It sure is. And at last, the mystery has been solved.
Ah, yes. Thanks to good old bauxite.
Yes. Is there a moral to this one? Apparently not.
Mirrors should stay in the bathroom, I think.
Yeah. Covered in my house, this case. Cover that mirror.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Well, we do have a special quiz.
This looks like a job for Superman.
Yes, it does. Our very own Superman, Dave Binkley, got a quiz for us.
We have a quiz for you, a Superman fact or made up. Here we go. Question number one. Everyone jot your answers down because you need to find out if you can pass this or not. Now, question number one. A youngster once pulled a gun on actor George Reeves. Was this a Superman fact or a made-up fact? It is a Superman fact. George Reeves was once threatened by. He was once threatened by a young fan who pulled a gun to test Superman's invincibility. Reeves managed to defuse the situation by explaining to the boy that someone else could get hurt by the bullets bouncing off him.
Oh, quick thinking.
Wow.
Question number two. Nicolas Cage once portrayed the Man of Steel. And think it
I'm
over.
I'm going to give that a
think it over.
Anyone? Anyone? I'm going to take a guess.
False. I'm going to give that a false.
I'm going to give it a true.
Okay, the answer is, it is indeed a Superman fact. Nicolas Cage once earned a staggering $20 million to portray the iconic role of Superman in the movie Superman Lives, which unfortunately never made it to the big screen.
Oh, that's
unfortunately.
$20 million.
$20 million for doing nothing. Okay.
Good work.
Question number three. In 1938, DC Comics purchased exclusive rights to Superman for a meager $500. Superman fact or made up?
In what year?
1938.
Oh, I'm
going to
say true.
I mean, I'm also going to go with true.
Ah, made up. Actually, they were only paid $130 for exclusive rights.
Oh, ouch.
Even in 1938, what a robbery.
Yep.
Question number four. Bruce Wayne was part owner of the Daily Planet. Superman fact or made up?
Oh,
I think that's made up.
I'm going to say it's a fact.
It indeed was a Superman fact. Bruce Wayne, the part owner of the Daily Planet, the newspaper where Clark Kent works, which means Batman technically paid Superman's salary.
Wow.
Question number five. Lex Luthor holds a grudge against Superman because as youngsters, Clark Kent accidentally destroyed Lex's father's gold Rolls Royce and never fessed up to it. Superman fact or made up?
I'm going to say made up.
It is indeed made up, but actually it makes more sense than the actual reasoning for it. According to the comics, Lex Luthor holds a grudge against Superman, believing that Superman caused his hair loss when they were both children. That's an actual reason. if I were a loser, I'd go with the old Rolls Royce. Okay. Question number six. Superman spilled the beans on the Manhattan Project and the atomic bomb. Superman fact or made up?
He spilled the beans on the Manhattan Project and the what now?
Yep. And the atomic bomb. Which was the Manhattan Project.
I'm going to say
I know
I'm
he's a
peacenik,
but I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say true.
Okay. It was indeed a Superman fact. Back in 1945, the U.S. government wasn't too thrilled with Superman comic book that depicted scientists splitting the atom to create the atomic bomb, just as the top secret Manhattan Project was working on the real thing.
So what did they try to say Superman was a commie spy or something?
All right, here's one, Dale, you should know. 7. There are different types of kryptonite.
I'm going to say that's true.
Oh, true. Yeah, I'll say true, true.
There's red kryptonite.
Indeed, it is a Superman fact. But here's an interesting fact on that. There are different types of kryptonite. One of them is even pink. And according to the comics, its power is to turn Superman gay.
Really?
Excuse me?
What is it? Yeah, it doesn't kill him. It just turns him gay. Then he wishes he were dead. I don't know. Question number 8.
Wow.
Question number 8.
That was for Supergirl. Oh, my gosh.
Question number 8. Mexico has a gold coin with Superman on it that is considered legal tender. Superman fact or made up?
I think it's true.
Wow. I'll say true. Why not? True.
Well, close, but it is made up. It's actually from Canada. Canada has a silver coin with Superman on it that is considered legal tender.
Wow.
Question number 9. Yep. Question number 9. Superman was originally only capable of being able to leap over tall buildings with a single bound. His ability to fly came because of the 1940s cartoons to help explain how Superman could get from one place to another much quicker. Is that a Superman fact or a made-up fact?
That is a fact, David. That is an absolute fact. I say it unequivocally because we had previously researched this and learned this ourselves doing the special, as I recall.
Except that it's made up. Part of it's made up.
Part of
it. Part of it was made up. Because Superman was made to fly because it was difficult to animate him bending his knees. That's why they made him fly.
Excuse me? With all that wonder, you mean the Fleischer comics with all that beautiful tech talent?
Yeah,
they
couldn't get him to bend his knees, yeah. Wow. And question number 10. Gene Hackman was paid an extra $1 million to shave off his mustache to play Lex Luthor in the 1978 movie. Superman fact or made up?
I can believe that.
I'll say it. So can I.
Yeah, except it was made up. The reason Gene Hackman shaved off his mustache was because Superman director Richard Donner promised to shave off his mustache, and after Hackman had his mustache removed, Donner revealed that his own mustache was actually fake.
That's hilarious.
So, for those of you who are actually on the border of 5 and 5, we have a bonus question.
Uh-oh.
It was Lois Lane who gave Superman the nickname the Man of Steel after a dinner date. Superman fact or made up?
I'm going to say made up. Please tell me it's made up.
Dale, I don't have your answer yet.
No, I'm coming up short on this one.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. The answer is made up, probably true, but unconfirmed is how I finish
off. Oh, God. Oh,
somebody has Superman envy, I'll tell you.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
Oh.
Sorry, CW. Sorry, CW.
Oh, I'm going to need to go into a 12-step program after you guys.
She's probably clawing at her eyes trying to get the images out of her head right now.
Maybe it's going away. Yeah.
I hope you all enjoy the Superman, the Superman fact or made up. There you go.
Well, bravo. Well done, I guess. Okay. Well,
yes.
Okay, everyone. Direct all your confusion to logtalkradioeriehouse.com.
/ Dale K. slash his throat. We got just enough time to squeeze in command performance. This will be a fun one.
Let's do it.
Starring Bob
Let's
Hope.
Let's do it.
Cleveland legend Bob Hope. Here's part. Do I have a date for this? Hold on. I think I do. Bear with me. Searching, scrolling. November 10th, 1946.
Command Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance presented this week and every week till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there. Tonight we depart from our customary procedure on Command Performance and forsake comedy to dwell upon literature. From one of the great classics of the day, we present a mighty dramatization featuring stirring adventure, tender love, and the triumph of right over might. And what is the greatest example of classic literature of today? Superman! Tonight's cast includes the mad scientist, Dr. Bikini, portrayed by Bela Lugosi. His insane assistant professor, Atoll, played by Sterling Holloway. The city editor, played by Wendell Niles. Oh, that's me. And the King Sisters, played by the King Sisters. For Superman's girlfriend, the beautiful girl reporter of the Daily Planet, Lois Lane, who else could we get but that five-star final, that banner headline, that extra edition, Paulette Goddard? And now, for the man who is the champion of the oppressed, guardian of the fundamental rights of the people, man of 1,000 steel muscles. Hey, what's that up there in the sky?
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
Oh, it is not. It's Bob Hope. Room of the Daily Planet, the headquarters of Bob Hope, who's really Clark Kent, who's really Superman. There's tension in the air. Everyone is waiting for a big story to break. Then suddenly, There's a loud cry from Clark Kent.
Stop the presses! Stop the presses! Stop them!
Kent, what's breaking?
My foot is caught in page six. Say, I must be big news. My big toe got a two-page spread.
Oh, Kent.
Forget it, Chief. Look, I got some great news items for you.
Let's see. Kent, you want to ruin me? This item is from the Daily Bugle. Well, this one's from the Bugle. You stole this one from the Bugle. Oh, what's going to happen to the Daily Planet?
I don't know. What's it say in the Bugle?
Oh, you.
And you. Better not lose your temper. I just got an offer from the Bugle.
I got an offer from the Bugle.
You
I
did?
Yes.
They say if I kindly step outside, they'll beat my head on the pavement.
Kent, you're absolutely useless. On top of that, you're never around when I need you.
Something happened today?
Yeah, over at the auditorium, the policeman's show was going great guns till Bob Hope made a surprise appearance. Children screamed, women fainted, and 6,000 people were trampled in a mad rush for the exit. And where, may I ask, were you?
I was home, listening to Red Skelton.
Kent, you're just not a reporter. Why can't you learn to stick your nose into other people's business?
But I'm not that type. I just can't peek in other people's lives. It's rude, it's impolite, it's childish, and besides, they keep pulling down the shades.
Kent, as of now, you're transferred to the circulation department.
Circulation department, yes, sir.
Well, don't just stand there. Rub my legs.
How'd you get a laugh like that? You must have a relative still in the service, huh?
Well, never mind. Get out of my office.
Yes, sir. Oh, the chief gets so mad. As plain Clark Kent, I have to pretend I'm a fool and a weakling. As Superman, I can drop the pretense. I'm a fine reporter with my supersensitive hearing. I can hear everything with my X-ray eyes. I can see everything. I can see through stone walls. Don't get ahead of me. That's not the finish. I can see through stone walls. Guess I'll drop by the YWCA again today.
Clark Kent, I'm ashamed of you. I heard the chief bawl you out. Clark, why don't you stand up for your rights? Where's your spine? Where's your courage? Where's your backbone?
Sorry, madam, but a box of forever yours for your noble tribe. You see, fellas, she thinks I'm a weakling, but I'm really Superman. I can even get bread. But I'm really not a weakling, Lois. I just don't care about girls.
Oh. Oh, please, Clark, put that ferret back in your pocket and listen to me. Are you a man or are you a mouse?
Put out the studio cat and I'll tell you. Lois, don't put me off any longer. Go out with me tonight.
I'm busy.
Tomorrow night.
I'm busy.
The next night.
I'm busy.
Busy, busy, busy. What are you, a girl or a party line? Lois, I'm going to prove to you once and for all that I'm a man.
You are?
Yes. Look at this, my birth certificate. Gosh, 6 o'clock. Time for my vitamins.
Oh, here, I'll open the box for you. Well, what are all those pills?
Well, this one's for calcium. This one's for protein. This one's for iron.
Well, what's this one for?
That's for me. Fourth one always pays off.
Oh, Clark, you weakling.
Listen, Lois, stop belittling me. What's wrong with my shoulders, my chest, my biceps?
Nothing, Clark, nothing. But you keep leaving them in your other suit.
Hey. Let him come in again. Hey, just got a tip on the big news story.
What do you got, a secret tunnel there? What is that? What'd you say, Chief?
I said I just got a big tip on a news story.
Well, I'm ready to go, Chief. No grass will grow under me.
The telegram says it'll break any minute.
No grass under me.
It'll take... It'll take courage. Can you make it, Miss Lane? While she's gone, I'll pluck out those dandelions. Can't get over that guy hitting the jackpot so early. Chief, why not send me?
Can you cut this thing all right, huh?
Chief, why not send me? You still mad at me?
Can't I fire you if I didn't get such a kick out of filing papers on your nose?
You're not too secure, you know.
Well, if you must, you can go along with her. You can hold her pencil.
Gee, thanks.
No doubt on the way you'll get yourself in trouble. You'll probably get killed.
Gosh, Chief, thanks for the chance.
Let's go. Here's a cab. Let's get in.
This is a big story, I'll bet.
What?
I hope we get there in time.
I can't hear you, Clark.
We may get a scoop.
For goodness sake, Clark, stop running alongside the cab and get in. I'll pay the fare.
Where to, mister?
Straight ahead.
I think we ought to turn left.
Straight ahead.
Yeah, but if...
Never mind. Straight ahead.
Okay.
Okay, take a left.
Oh, Clark, look. Look up on that building on the ledge of the 82nd floor. There's a man starting to jump. He changed his mind. Clark, you've got to do something.
I am. I'm quivering the best I can.
Oh, but that man must be rescued. Oh, if Superman were only here.
And she's right. This is a job for Superman. I'll do the job so fast she'll never notice I'm missing. Here's the building. I'll duck into this room and change into my Superman clothes. Okay, I'll try another room. Now I am Superman. Now to the 82nd floor. Up, up and away. Oh, darn, forgot to open the window. There we go.
Well, what do you want, Fancy Pants?
Don't jump, mister. Think of your wife.
Got no wife.
Well, think of your kids.
Got no kids.
Well, think of Paramount.
What's Paramount?
Okay, jump, you MGM spy, you...
Say, who are you anyway?
Everybody knows me. I'm brave and fearless. I'm the champion of the people, defender of truth, guardian of the underdog, and enemy of the underworld.
Oh, I know you. I've heard your program.
You have?
Yeah, you're Mr. District Attorney.
No, I'm Superman, and I'm here to save you. I'll take you off this ledge.
But I've got to jump. You hear? I'm disgraced. I've done a terrible thing. A terrible thing.
What'd you do?
I put bananas in the refrigerator. Goodbye, cruel world.
Alas, he jumped. Mercy's sakes. I must dive down and rescue him before he hits the ground. Oh, brother.
Get away from that window, you bee.
Oh, well, back to work. Gotcha. I'm such a butterfingers. Oh, well, I'll catch him on the first bounce. Now I've got you. You're safe on the ground, thanks to me. Am I not wonderful?
Yes.
Hey, where are you going?
Back to the ledge, and next time, mind your own business, you pet.
Well, now to change clothes and get back to the cab before Lois notices I'm missing. After all, I've been gone 2 seconds already.
Clark, did you see Superman rescue that man?
I couldn't look. I closed my eyes.
Oh, Clark, if only you were Superman.
Little does she know that I am me. Okay, driver, step on it. We got to cover that story.
As the cab speeds to its destination, our scene shifts to a spot in the Hollywood Hills where we look in on a couple who will bear watching.
Fresh.
I guess that pair doesn't want to be watched. So we move farther up the hills where we look in on the workshop of the two mad scientists, Dr. Bettini and his assistant, Apple.
What awful thing is being hatched in this... What awful thing is being hatched in this closely guarded hideaway?
We'll find out what's being hidden there in just a little bit when we return to Command Performance. This is a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, yes. Well, this whole weekend has been a tremendous one, Dale. Just start off with the cereals and all the extra extras that we've had to go with have been such tremendous fun.
Yep. Almost feels like we're doing the old program we did for our Hutter Horsted shows and Yiddy House television.
Yeah. We did. Yeah, well, that was off the cuff.
Thought about. I was wondering, what would be the reaction of Superman changing when a lady walks into the room, or he walks into a room and starts to change? Yeah, scream. Oh, sorry, lady.
That would be disconcerting.
Oh, my. Now I know why you are the Man of Steel.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
You have yourselves to blame for it, guys.
Yes, I do. Yes, we do.
Yes.
I'll take the blame. Dave's the good one.
I'll take scotch and a rock. Yes, that's what I'll take, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Make mine a double.
Yes. Yes, we're all suffering from the fallout that is Dale. But hey, to know him is to be part of him. Oh my gosh, I don't know.
Oh well, what am I gonna do?
You could lead us into the next part of the Command Performance. You could do that.
We could.
And we have some time left over.
And some news
for good old Bob. You still here?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. We got some breaking news for you, good old Bob. That'll be right, and we'll keep you in suspense for part two and the completion of Command Performance Superman.
All right. Capital.
Go.
Alcohol. Punch.
Fun.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Suture. Alcohol. That's enough alcohol. Is the experiment succeeding?
Gee, it's moving. It has life. It is breathing.
All right, Alcohol. You can get off the egg now.
Oh, thanks, Chief. Now can I rest? It's so tiring sitting over a hot egg all day.
So, you have been working hard. So I'm going to double your weekly allowance.
Gee, you are?
Yes. This week you get 2 pints of blood.
Oh,
after all, boy, you are smart. You have a head on your shoulders.
Oh, get it off! Finally, I see what you mean.
Now we have to check the formula for our new machine.
Oh, yes. Gee, I'm so nervous. How does it go again? X plus Y equals 3 times the cosine of Z if O is 9 cross pluses.
I must have absolute right to figure this out. Now let's see. Those noisy King Sister upstairs. I can't concentrate. But you know what we can do with those girls?
Yeah. Oh, Mercy, what can we do with it? You know, they look awful strong.
I've got it. We will use them to test our new machine.
Oh, mercy, yes, the machine.
As soon as they start singing again, we will sneak upstairs and corner them.
Okay. Ah, you king sisters, you. We've got you.
Well, come on, Marilyn.
I've got you in my power. And I'm cruel and wicked. I will do horrible things for you. You will suffer. Suffer! Suffer! What are you screaming for?
Gee, you scare me too.
Golly, the King Sisters may be facing a fate worse than death. However, we have a request from overseas asking us to return to Clark Kent and Lois Lane in the speeding taxi cab. Since your wish is our command...
Clark, shame on you. Always getting fresh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you had to get fresh.
I'm really sorry.
You really are? Okay, driver, let him back in. He won't tickle your ears again. Oh, Clark, if you were only a gentleman like Superman.
Superman. I ought to tell her I'm Superman with the piercing vision, the X-ray eyes, the super-sensitive hearing.
Oh, Clark, will you pay the fare?
Huh? What was that? I got the meter stub right here in my hand.
Where?
Listen, it's $2.50.
Oh, I mean, hey?
He wins. He wins, driver. I'll pay. Clark's liable to fumble around all day for the money.
I am not. I'll give the money to him quick as a flash. There.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, well, Lois, wasn't I quick at handing in the dough?
Well, I'll say it. Isn't every man is that good at finding things in a woman's purse?
While Clark Kent, who is really Superman, and Lois Lane, who is really Paulette Goddard, feed back to the Daily Planet, which is really a crummy paper, let us see how the King Sisters are coming along with the two mad scientists.
Let us throw the King Sisters into the soap machine.
Oh, yes.
King Sisters, forward! March!
Hey, Alice, bring up the rear. I can't. I'm not built that way.
Oh, they're in. Now, start the machine. These girls will make four wonderful bars of soap.
Think we can get 16 cakes out of each bar of soap?
No, they are still the King Sisters. No matter how you slice them, you will only get 8 to the bar.
Yeah. Gee, just think. Next time they sing, it'll be soap operas.
Yes.
Well, isn't that enough?
Now, stop the machine, and we'll examine the product. The bars of soap are coming out. Look at those huge soap bars.
Yeah, king size.
Now we know the machine works, and we shall get the master ingredient that will make our soap the best in the world.
You mean...
Yes, I mean Superman. He's the only man who contains lanolin.
Now we switch back to Clark Kent and Lois Lane, who are snooping around the mad scientist's house in an effort to find out what happened to the King Sisters. How do they know what happened to the King Sisters? They peeked.
We must be near the Palladium.
You're not afraid, are you, Clark?
Afraid? Fear is a stranger to me. Sounds like my sponsor.
Clark, you are scared. Your nose is like chalk.
I know. I've got to stop writing things in the sidewalk with it. Well, so long, Lois. I've got an appointment with my barber.
At midnight?
Lady Barber.
Oh, well, I'll have to go in alone. I'll ring the doorbell. The door's opening.
Hello, I'm Tarzan of the Apes.
But this is Superman. You're in the wrong comic strip. What are you doing here?
Oh, just looking for some apes.
He left me alone in this dreadful house.
Well, good evening.
Hello. I'm Lois Lane of the Planet.
You may interview us in my private office.
My, what a charming house.
You like it? This house has stood for 300 years. I moved in the day it was built. Not a stone has been touched. Nothing altered. Nothing repaired or replaced.
My, you must have the same landlord I have.
Just a minute. Miss Lane, now that you know all about my soap machine, you must die.
But I don't know anything about your soap machine.
I just told you. So you have to die.
Yeah, isn't it wonderful how we can find excuses for killing people?
We'll throw her in right now. Grab her, Doctor.
Oh!
What's there?
Sorry.
Unhand that woman. It is I, Superman. Just in time for another thrilling rescue. I am here in the neck of time.
You mean Nick?
Neck.
Nick.
Get these guys out of the room and I'll show you what I mean.
Superman! At last, we have you where we want you. We are going to make soap out of you.
Yeah, we can break you in half. Use half of you in the tub, half in the kitchen for dishes and light laundry.
I do hope I'll be kind to undies. You fiends are mad. You can't kill me. I'm indestructible. Go ahead, try to kill me. Go on, I double dare you.
All right, I'll use the machine gun.
Yeah, it only tickles.
All right. Give him the axe.
Only tickles.
Hand grenade!
Only tickles.
Ouch!
Oh, what happened?
Lois, you're standing on my corn.
Shame on you, Superman, the man of steel.
Well, a guy can rust.
Enough of this. Superman, are you ready to get into the machine?
All right, you fools. I will show you the folly of your ways. I will step into your ridiculous machine.
Superman, slot more touch with Superman. With your long lasting key, it's a soap of super deal.
What's happening at all?
What's happening? Good gracious. He's turning the machine into soap.
Then our experiment is a failure. There is nothing left to do but die. Goodbye to the world.
Strong, Pop.
Hey, you are coming home.
Ah, the forces of justice have once more triumphed over those of evil.
Oh, Superman, kiss me.
But I'm Superman. I don't waste time with girls. This is the hardest part I ever played.
Superman, you kiss me.
But I may destroy you with one embrace.
I'll chance it.
Come into my manly arms.
Oh, my. He disintegrated quickly.
This program is arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
That was
fun. Done over there.
That was a whole lot of fun.
Yep.
That
whole
was
weekend
good.
Was. And we have some news here for good old Bob. You pull it up. Unless you got it handy.
No, you got it. All yours.
Okay. Last weekend, Bob suggested we do a weekend on Science Gone Wrong.
Yep.
And lo and behold, after right after the Vincent Price double feature next week, the following week will be Science Gone Wrong and Bad Science.
Yes. So there, good old Bob, gotcha. What you needed. Got you what you needed.
There you go.
Yep.
So
right after our double feature. Now that's next weekend. It's a drive-in. That's right, with Vincent Price, we're going to have Dragon Wick and Laura.
Yep.
Cool. Get the big bucket of popcorn and sneak the extra person in the trunk of the car.
That's right.
I tried that once. They wouldn't open up the trunk. I had to hear it through the trunk the whole time.
Ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to... Oh, never mind. Speaking of trunks of cars...
Oh my.
Oh my goodness. Vincent, this is the month of mayhem. I mean, Vincent Price's birthday month, Christopher Lee's birthday month, Peter Cushing's birthday month. Different years, of course, but all in the month of May. May.
The merry, merry month of
month.
May.
Yes. Mayhem.
Or
mayhem.
Would it be the very
mystery?
Would it be the very scary month of May? Ooh.
Yeah.
True.
Oh, scary mm-hmm. month of May.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait.
Yep.
That's right. I'm trying to find something here.
Yeah.
I can't find it fast enough. Good old Bob brought up that great quote from Glenn or Glenda. Pull the string. I was trying to find a copy of it. I was a little slow on the draw. Sorry about that, gang.
Yeah, but and Garthagoon has a new live show tonight?
No, it's a new rerun. A brand new rerun.
A brand new rerun
live show. All right.
Yeah, because they're taking one of his shows and they've actually even sharpened it up a little bit and sharpened the audio up. And a lot of times Gar is talking in the echo and the Chicken Salad Productions does things to add into his live segments as well that he had live. So it is a fun watch. And we hope.
So it's Gar Remastered. That's what it is. Gar Remastered.
Gar Remastered.
The Twitches. Coming up right after we're done here, and that's in just a few moments. Want to thank good old Bob and Fogsbane for joining us, and we're looking forward to more and more and more of this radio, starting with the drive-in next weekend. Good old
yep.
Vince.
Yep.
I love
Vince. Cool beans.
I only have one thing against him. He never, ever, ever seems to remember CW. That's my only complaint. Vince.
And the goat.
Yeah. And the pickle, the yielding pickle, too. He left all three of us out. Kind of hurts, Vincent.
That's all right. We're still going to keep him employed as he comes on in to send us home.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When
and
next we
and
meet
her.
In Frankenstone.
And the yielding pickle.
Don't come alone.
Okay.
Can you dig it?
Ah!
Yay, listen, we're celebrating your birthday next week.
There.
There
you
go.
There you go. All right.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you or whatever.
Oh.
I don't know how that goes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my.
Oh. Talking about collectibles,
yep.
I know we're talking about comic books, but oh, how I wish my mom had purchased Vincent Price's cookbook. Or my dad.
Oh, which one? I think he
or any
may
of
have
my
more
relatives. He had several, but yeah, the first one, the very first one that came out.
Yeah. Yep, he was a foodie for sure.
No kidding.
I have one of them.
I have it on.
I can't remember the title.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My kids buy me cool. They know what kind of stuff I like. They buy me cool books, and that was one of them.
Nice. That was a cool book.
Yeah.
But, you know, the RVs that they have nowadays, I mean, the RVs, they have the RVs that can expand bigger than an average tract house, you know, and contracts back in. I think I'm going to buy one of those instead of trying to buy a house. You know, forget that. Just buy a little tract of land and say, there's my RV over there. I'm just going in there and turn on the
satellite. Yep.
Yeah, got a satellite hacking into every Wi-Fi in the tri-state area.
Yeah, keeping off the grid.
Yeah.
Stay off the grid.
Yeah, off the grid.
That'd be great.
Yeah, getting into my jacuzzi. It's on top. Jacuzzi's on top there. And yeah, the butler's in the butler's lounge over in the side. There you go.
My idea would be more like, Dave, you remember that one episode of The Pickers? They were visited that weird little dude in Pennsylvania that, like, was a tunneler. He had tunneled under his property, and he had, like, tons and tons of collectibles.
I think I missed that one.
Oh, my God. It's one of the early ones, like, from the first couple seasons. This little weird little dude from Pennsylvania. And he had tunneled under his property. And, I mean, there's, like, all kinds of rooms and offshoots and stuff. And he built it all himself. It was insane.
Wow.
I wonder how the county taxes that, you know?
There may be a loophole in that.
I don't know. Do they tax people extra for a basement? I don't think so.
No, I think it's just
It's only considered living space, I think, that they can tax you on, I think.
Yes, above ground living space. That's why tunneling pays off.
Great.
So
I'm going to get my shovel off.
No kidding. So if you buy a tract of land and don't put anything on top and just build underground, you just have to pay the property tax for the just the little parcel and nothing extra because you're not living above ground.
I don't know. You know, that's a great question. I know someone not far from me. There's a little section of Wellington that's just away from the city. And there are some unique homes. There's one of those geodesic homes. But there's also an earth home. It's built into the side of a hill.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's pretty, except for like the garage door, it's pretty much all earth.
Oh, my gosh. If there's a loophole for this where you don't have to pay the property taxes, I mean, you still get fed by the, you still stay on the
grid. Well,
you
got to pay for the dirt, but not for the structure. I don't think.
Yes.
I wonder how they do that. I wonder how that's done.
Ooh.
Well, until they figure out how to tax, he gets off. But then they'll catch him. They'll catch up. They'll rewrite the laws.
That's right.
Mm. Yes, they're insidious. They are.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, I was talking about Vincent Price. He had an RV before they had these elite super duper RVs, and he cooked one of his gourmet meals in there and served it up to some guests. I mean, the tiny little stoves they had in those days in there, I don't know how he managed it.
Yeah.
Something akin to
maybe two burners, that's it.
Yeah.
And perhaps that.
Probably gas.
You know, gas. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
propane and with propane and propane accessories.
That's never a fire hazard. Kaboom!
I take it you didn't any of you guys watch King of the Hill?
Not much. I did not watch that one much.
I like Hank when he
was on the Beavis and Butthead though.
No, it's all on the episodes are on archive.org. I went on there.
Oh, really?
To rewatch them. Yes.
Archive.org is such a treasure trove of stuff.
Oh my gosh, it is absolutely, you could lose your life. If there was a way, I'd just be a shut-in.
They should just rename it
in.
The Rabbit Hole.
That's it. If somehow I could afford to be a shut-in, I would just sit there and go through there 24/7 and never see the end.
That'd be great.
Well, it would. With that, gentlemen, I must
wait,
be away.
I've got something good here.
Okay.
I wanted to test your... Nope, I can't find it. Sorry. I was going to upload something real fast. I was going to test you on that one, CW, is one of my... And Dave. Nope. Okay. It was a theme I was going to play for you. Too late. Let's get out of here, gang.
Too late.
See you, Mr. Durante, the Schnozola, take it away, if you please.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. Kindly get that goat off the stage.
What more to say but good night?
I'd rather like the
goat. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
But I'm like that.
Toodaloo, yielding to the
goat. And
ink-a-tink-a-doo.
Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.